Welcome to the Monday Marketing Madness Podcast. You know, there's a lot of things to hate about Mondays. So, we figured, why not make someone's Monday something to look forward to? Every Monday on this podcast, we share confidential marketing secrets, innovative strategies, and growth hacks to help catapult you to entrepreneur rockstar status and grow your online business to massive new heights. Now, here's your host, Ronnie Rock Smith.
Hey everyone, Ronnie Rock Smith here with USADG. Welcome to my Monday Marketing Madness Podcast. Where marketing some days can be great and some days can be absolute madness, right? So how are you today? I'm doing awesome as always, and I hope you are too. The Monday Marketing Madness Podcast is featured every Monday, so be looking forward to a new episode every Monday for the rest of 2021. And if you love the Monday Marketing Madness podcast show and want a weekly reminder when new episodes go live, and you want to stay on top of what's trending in the marketing space with our latest news and marketing product reviews, then you might consider joining the USADigi newsletter. It's free. Just go ahead to usadigi.com/newsletter and sign up today. That's usadigi.com/newsletter. Today on Monday Marketing Madness, episode 12, we're going to be talking about the law of attraction and my life story that backs it up. It all started back when I was a teenager. I was living with my sister at the time because my dad had passed away when I was 15 back in 1986, and my sister took me in. I didn't find out about the law of attraction until 2006, when I was in my early 30s and watched the movie called The Secret. And after finding out about it, I started to look back at some of the things in my life and started piecing things together to really justify that the law of attraction was in fact a real thing, and it was working for me back then. And it works regardless if you believe in it or not. Now, let me make one thing clear. Some people might hear about the law of attraction and think it's some magical thing that will just manifest a pile of money in your hands or manifest a Lamborghini in your driveway. Well, I'm here to tell you that's just not how it really works. It works on time, meaning it usually takes a while to start manifesting things in your life. That's because it has to work through multiple people sometimes to get things done. And it requires you to act on things. It'll give you the opportunities and open the doors, but if you hesitate when they're in front of you, it will take a lot longer to get what you want. And I've learned all of this firsthand, as you will see in my story. My story shows how the law of attraction was working for me, and I didn't even know it. My story begins when I was still in high school, and this pretty much set the path for things moving forward. One day, I was at a friend's house, and I noticed some News on Wheels Core magazines and a bunch of muscle and fitness magazines that was in a huge box sitting on the floor in the kitchen. I was looking at a few of them, and I asked if I could take a few home to read. My friend said they belonged to his dad, so he would have to ask him if it was okay. So he went in the other room and asked his dad. He came back a few seconds later and said, "My dad said you can have the whole box. He doesn't want them anymore and they're just taking up space. So he was going to throw them out anyway." "Wow," I said, "thanks. I'm into cars and bodybuilding, so this will keep me busy for a while for sure." So he grabbed the box and started on my way home. After looking through all the News on Wheels magazines for several weeks, I kept seeing one certain car that really grabbed my eye. It was a Mazda RX-7. So eventually, this car became my first dream car that I ever wanted. I became pretty obsessed about it. I would look at it every day. I cut out pictures of it and put it on my wall. And every time a new issue of News on Wheels came out, I would go and buy them to see the latest prices on the Mazda RX-7s for sale. I knew I didn't have the money to buy the car at that time. Heck, I was still in school. Didn't even make it to junior high yet. But I knew I wanted that car. I just didn't know how I was going to get it yet. After some time, I started to notice something strange happening. Everywhere I went, I seen a Mazda RX-7. When walking to school, when walking back from school, when going to the library, no matter where I went, I always seen a Mazda RX-7. It either drove by me while walking, or I would see one parked in the front of someone's house or in someone's driveway. When I would see one parked in someone's driveway, I used to stop and just stare at it for a while and imagine it was mine. I could see myself washing it with a big smile on my face. Of course, I wouldn't stand there too long, just in case the owner happened to look out the window and see me looking at it, thinking maybe I was planning to steal it or something. So I would hurry and move along. I really didn't think much of it back then of why I would see this car everywhere I went. But later on in life, after learning about the law of attraction, it finally dawned on me why I was seeing this car so much during those days. After I finally got into high school, that car kind of became a thing of the past, and I stopped looking at those magazines, and I was more into bodybuilding, ninjas, and drawing. The days of getting that car without having any money felt pretty hopeless. However, I didn't give up on it. I just pushed it back to the back of my mind for a short period. Later, during my senior year of high school, I had a few Vietnamese friends that I hung out with, and we used to get drunk on the weekends, go to dance clubs, and party and have fun like the typical teenagers would do back then. One day, another one of my friends, Jerry, asked me if I wanted a job. He explained that I would be a crab boiler working for a seafood restaurant, and he needed someone to take his spot so that he wouldn't leave the restaurant in a bind, as he was quitting that job to go and work as a mechanic for someone else. The crab boiler job paid $100 per week, and I only worked on weekends, Friday and Saturday, so $50 per day, so I took the job. Then, that weekend, my Vietnamese friend, Nam, pulled up to my house in his new car. Well, it wasn't a new car, it was used, but new to him. But guess what kind of car it was? Yep, a 1985 Mazda RX-7. Well, at least I think that was the year. I don't really recall exactly. I mean, that was 25 years ago. And I was like, man, this is my dream car. He looked at me and smiled and said, really? I said, yeah, when did you get it? He told me he had it for a few weeks now, and he bought it from his cousin. I've been looking at this car for years and learning everything about them in News on Wheels magazines, I told him. But this one was even better than the standard factory versions I had my eyes on. It had a big Texas tail spoiler, a sound system with two 15-inch woofers, amps, and the works, and it had a blue metallic flake custom paint job. It was pretty awesome. He said, jump in, let's go for a ride. So I did. During the ride, I told him, man, if you ever want to sell it, please let me know first. He agreed that he would give me the first dibs on it. Maybe 2 weeks had passed, and I was at his house and he asked me, Ronnie, do you still want to buy my car? I said, hell yeah, man. How much? He said, I'm asking $1,500, but I'll sell it to you for $1,200. Why are you selling it? You just got it, I asked. He said, my brother is giving me his Z28, so I don't need two cars. His whole family had nice cars. I'm talking Toyota Supras, Z28s, Nissan 280Zs, and RX-7s. All with systems, nice rims, side skirts, and nice paint jobs. That's what they were into. I said, okay, hold it for me, man, because it will take me 3 full months to save $1,200, as I only get paid $100 a week, and I just got this job. He said, okay, I'll hold it for 3 months. After then, I'll have to sell it if you don't have the money. So after about 2 months of saving, I met a girl at school. We became really close, and we started hanging out. I decided I wanted to take her to the mall. So I was in love, so I ended up spending some of the money I saved to impress her by buying her some nice clothes and stuff. Then we went to the movies spending more money. Pretty soon, all the money I had saved was gone. This girl later became my wife, and we had 3 beautiful girls together. However, later on in life, that relationship didn't last, but that's a whole nother story. After 3 months went by, my friend came by again asking me if I still wanted the car. I explained I had spent all of my money on my girlfriend, so now it was going to take me another 3 months from now to save again. He said, I'm sorry, man, I need the money and somebody else asked about it, so I'm going to have to sell it. I understood and said okay, so I figured I was just going to save up and try to find another one later on. After about another month or so, here came another devastating blow. My boss at the restaurant told me that they were closing up and selling the place because they were losing too much money. I didn't ask any questions about how they were losing money, but I couldn't help to think, there goes my dreams again, slowly down the drain. Later that year, when I finally graduated, my brother said he was going to give me his old truck so I could have a ride. I was very thankful. He was going to put another motor in it for me because the one in there was bad, and all I had to do was track down the guy who had the title and get it from him. So that's what I did. It was my first vehicle. If I recall, it was a 1979 Ford F-150 pickup truck. It wasn't in the best looking condition, but hey, it was free. And it was my first vehicle ever. What more could I ask for? I moved out of my sister's house and in with my girlfriend so we could be together. She still lived with her mom at the time. That year, we later got married and we had our first kid together. I did various jobs here and there so we could save and get a place of our own, but nothing really paid all that well. I remember working at a sugar mill for about $200 a week after taxes, and that barely paid the bills when we finally got on our own. But I would always hear about how people working offshore were making a lot of money, and that was something that I wanted. I wanted to make a lot of money. Who doesn't, right? So I know what I wanted. I wanted to work offshore. But I didn't know anyone that did at the time, so I didn't know how to get a job offshore and what I could do out there. Later, I started learning how to do airbrush work and got into that really heavy after my brother taught me how to use the airbrush. I even quit my job at one point and opened my own business airbrushing out of my home. But it was barely paying the bills. It would have done a lot better, but I think mostly it was because people weren't too comfortable coming into my home to do business, as I had converted the porch into the business. But you still had to go through the house to get to the porch the way it was set up. I knew that renting a building on the main street would have worked out better, but I just couldn't afford another rent bill, so I had to work it like that. Then one day, my other brother showed up at my airbrush shop, not the one that gave me the truck. He was working offshore at the time, and they were just coming back from a job, so him and his boss decided to stop by and see some of my work. He said, "Hey man, if you want a job, I can get you and my crew. We made good money. Have a look at this check stub." He showed me in 2 weeks how he was making $2,500 to $3,500 and sometimes even more per check. It just depended on the hours that they made. That was pretty impressive to me, as I was making only about $800 to $1,000 per month doing airbrushing. But I told him no. I said I didn't need a job because I was working for myself and I enjoyed what I was doing. He understood, but he said, "Well, if you ever want a job, let me know and I'll get you on." A few months later, I decided to take him up on that offer because airbrushing just wasn't cutting it anymore and we were starting to struggle a bit to pay the bills. So I got on the crew and worked my way up to the highest paying position eventually and was now making good money. One day at work, my brother said, "I bought my wife a car." He said it's a black 1991 RX 7 and we got a good deal on it, as he showed us the picture on his phone. I couldn't believe it. "What? Man, this is my dream car. If you sell it, I want it." He said, "We don't want to sell it. We just bought it." And I said, "I understand that. But if you ever do, I'm getting it." As time went by, I kind of forgot about the car after a while. But one day, he calls me up out of the blue and asks if I still wanted it. I said, "Are you kidding me?" I didn't have the full amount that he was asking for it, so he agreed to let me pay it on time. So I did a down payment, which was half, and he said I could take it home as long as I paid the monthly notes until it was paid for. Holy cow! I was the happiest person in the world when I sat down behind that steering wheel to drive that baby home. I just couldn't stop smiling. It was incredible. Now I finally had my dream car after all this time, after all this waiting. It was finally here. And that's pretty much how it happened for me. So let's recap everything to see how all this ties together. So first I wanted that car, but I had no money to get it. Doors opened for me to get that job at the restaurant. My friend had the car and wanted to sell it to me. I spent the money on my girlfriend, so this postponed me to not get the car at that time, because it was showing me that other things were more important, such as having a wife, moving into our own place, and having kids to bring life into this world. I had a job, but it didn't pay too well. I wanted to work offshore, but I didn't know how to get that job. So I started my own business airbrushing. And if this didn't happen, I wouldn't have had the airbrush shop where my brother stopped in to offer me the offshore job, which also meant that I probably wouldn't have known about him having that RX-7 and him wanting to sell it to me later, as we didn't visit much. But when you're on a crew, we would see each other on every job. Plus, now having a better paying job allowed me to have enough money to actually afford it. So there you go, the laws of attraction at work throughout my life. So where is my dream car right now? Sad to say, it's in a pull-apart junkyard. But the truth is, now I have a new dream car. And I have a dream home as well, sitting up there on my vision board on the wall that I look at every day, allowing the law of attraction to know exactly what I want and to bring it to me. Now, I don't have these things yet, but remember, the law of attraction works on time. Sometimes it works fast, but most time, it just takes time to manifest. but I can truly say that it's still at work for me even today. In fact, just recently, something else has come to pass. But maybe we could talk about that in one of my future stories. Hey guys, if you find value in our recordings, please consider supporting the Monday Marketing Madness podcast. This donation will help to sustain future episodes. And if you're listening to this podcast on another platform besides Anchor.fm, just head over to anchor.fm/Ronnie-Rock-Smith. That's anchor.fm/RONNIE-ROKK-SMITH. You will find the support button next to our logo on the page in between the Listen on Spotify button and the Message button. Whichever option you choose is fine by us. We just appreciate any support we can get. And of course, you can cancel anytime. Also, stay tuned for next Monday's show, where each Monday you'll learn some new, exciting, actionable content that you can use to put forth in your own business. So that about wraps up this episode. Until the next one, thanks for your time and interest. I'm Ronnie Rocksmith with USA Digi and RonnieRocksmith.com and Coin, the Rockstar Video Marketer, coming at you live from the Monday Marketing Madness podcast. And guys, happy marketing.